Hello and welcome to the Beyond Biotech podcast number 70. I'm Jim Cornell and this is the weekly LaBiotech podcast, and we're already into November. If you're headed to Bio Europe in Munich next week, I hope it's a good event for you. I expect it's going to be very busy. Not the greatest weather forecast either, unfortunately. On today's podcast, we're talking with Jean-Philippe Picamal, the Chief Scientific Officer and co-founder of French-headquartered company Qubit Pharmaceuticals. We'll be talking about how quantum computing is accelerating drug discovery and how the company's Atlas platform is leading the way to more effective and safer drugs. All right, well, I guess we'll start with the easiest question first, if you could tell me something about the company.
So our company is called Qubit Pharmaceuticals. It has been founded in 2020. Its main idea is to be a digital pharma. So what does that mean? It means that we don't have wet labs. We are using computers. And we are using these computers to predict new drugs. So we are making the plans of the new drugs, new treatments. And based on the prediction that we are doing with our computers, our supercomputers, we are making the synthesis of these compounds. And we hope to be able to discover at an accelerated rate various new drugs for various diseases in practice.
And could you tell me about the Atlas software that you have and how it works?
Yeah, so to do so, of course, you need supercomputers, but on these supercomputers and even some quantum computers, because that's part of our name, the qubit is coming from quantum computing, we need a software, and that software is called Atlas. So that's a computational platform that is able to do many different types of computation, and that replaces, in fact, the lab. So we don't have or in our everyday life, we don't have a lab where people are doing some synthesis, but they are performing computation on their screens. So they can visualize the molecules, they can modify the molecules, and they can compute a lot of properties towards the idea that we will see in the computer the drug interacting with its target. So Atlas is doing all of that. So it's like a Swiss knife with hundreds of different methods and very strong computational capabilities to be able to handle the largest supercomputers. Because in fact, the goal of the company is to do all this prediction very accurately, but also to do it fast, because that's the pharma world. So we need to be able to screen a lot of molecules and to find the right one. And in order to find the right one, you must, in fact, make a lot of attempts. And because in real world, in pharma, the difficulty is when you do an attempt, it is done in the lab. So it has a serious cost, and you need a human to do so. Within the computer, let's say that you can fail 1,000 times, it doesn't cost much. And that's in fact the spirit of Qubit Pharmaceuticals. So we will try to fail a lot in the computer in order to find the right candidate, the right drug.
Right. I guess a lot of this is failure. We only hear about the successes, but I guess the most important thing is being able to fail quickly and work quickly.
Exactly. So that's the dilemma of pharma. Is that in pharma, people are finding a lot of drugs, but they are never or rarely perfect. They have difficulties to be synthesized. Their cost of synthesis may be too expensive for an industrial perspective. They may have toxicity. They may have side effects, and you know it only at the end. So the idea is to be able to produce as many new ideas as we can at light speed. So we have a lot of candidates, and these candidates can be moved, in fact, to synthesis and to the other phases of pharma, but with the idea that probably 99.9 initial ideas will be already validated as failures. So we that's exactly what we want to do. We want to fail as much as possible in the computer in order to not fail when we come to the real world.
Through looking at your press releases and website, digital twins comes up a lot. Could you explain what digital twins are?
Yeah, so the digital twin is really the idea that you will have a model, a computational model that will be as good as the real object. So in pharma, usually what we are trying to digitalize as twin is the target of the drug. And what is the target of a drug in pharma? It's a protein. So a protein has a 3D structure that you can get from experiments. So you have atoms of different types. And this protein or this ensemble of protein is a part of your body. And that's the part of your body that you want to heal. And you need to find a drug and to find its location into this target. So when you look at that in terms of surface, it's a little bit like the surface of the moon or the surface of a planet like Mars. Yeah, there is a lot of different locations. Your drug can be anywhere. And so the digital twin, its purpose is to reproduce that in the computer. So you can explore, in fact, the surface of this target to find the best location of the drug. So that's a double problem. You have to find the drug and then to find its location. So that's a tough problem, and that's why you need a lot of computation to do all this attempt to locate and to find the drug.
Can you tell me how you're trying to work towards improving safety and increasing drug discovery and also reducing cost, and also sort of what kind of amounts you're looking towards in terms of those reductions, whether it's 50%, 20%, that kind of thing?
So first, in terms of speed, so technically this computation can reduce by a factor 5 to 10 the speed of development, because in fact the computers are fast enough, so you will be able to do a lot of candidates. What cannot be fully reduced is the human intervention. You still need human. So even if the computer are doing that in a few hours or few days, you still need people like to discuss what is the best strategy, etc. So there is a limit to the reduction, but it will considerably accelerate the time to solution in terms of discovery of new molecules. Then in terms of what this molecule does, you have over layers of software and technology that can really help you. For example, you have the machine learning. So the machine learning is able to learn based on data that you can find either in previous projects or in other scientific projects. It is able to make predictions about side effects, toxicity, solubility of the molecule in the human plasma, etc. So basically, you have several layers of computational methods that are already enabling you to make predictions before the experiment. And the machine learning is a big part of it. And over time, we will see in the future that really most of the properties of a drug will be already relatively well predicted before it has even seen real world.
What are the areas that you're concentrating on? Because obviously there are so many diseases and so many potential drugs for those diseases. How do you narrow it down in that respect?
So one idea of the company is that that's exactly what you said. There are so many possibilities that we should not first tackle the diseases where, in fact, many people have already solutions. So there are some area of research where, in fact, existing methodology is already working pretty well. So it's really crowded. Maybe the investment is not worth. What we are specialized in, the disease where drugability is highly difficult, where, in fact, no pharma has a real clue. We made choices. So we are working on three different areas of specialization. Cancer, because within cancer, you have very difficult cancer, and that could be a plus for patients if we find something. Inflammation, because you have a variety of very complex diseases where it's not very easy to find new treatments. And virology, we all know, everybody knows about COVID now, but that's something where, in fact, the accuracy of methodology is really important, because sometimes you really want to find a drug quickly. And so that's also something we are tackling. So these three areas, cancer, inflammation, and virology.
Could you tell me about some of the successes that you've had so far?
Most of what we do is confidential, because you only hear about that once the molecule is going into a big pharma and the big pharma is making the announcement. But as a proof of concept, we did something that has been widely shared. It was on COVID. So, for example, in 2020, it was the launch of the company. There was a global call for startups like us and research labs to look at antivirals. It's almost forgotten now, but in 2020, we had virtually no idea about what's going on, and everybody was looking for a countermeasure against the virus that is causing COVID-19. And so we had an early version of the Atlas platform, and we launched our computation on the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and we targeted a specific protein that is called the MPRO, the main protease of SARS-CoV-2. That is, a drug would block the replication of the virus if it was functional. And within 6 months, in fact, we managed to find two families of new drugs, antivirals. We managed to do the synthesis of these drugs and the test on the virus with all the characterization. And when it was the time of making conclusion about this research effort, it was in 2022, 2 years later, we were in the 10 groups or companies in France that have been able to produce new things on COVID. So that really showed that this technological transformation using supercomputing, a lot of physics and machine learning is really able to produce nothing in pharma, especially because when you have a time constraint, and it was the case during COVID, it works or it does not work. So that's what we were able to demonstrate, that first our technology was working and we were able to go up to the lab to make the drug happen and to make the test, the biological test, on a real life problem. So our drug was really efficient, and we were also able to publish. So that was a little bit our white paper, our proof of concept research work that we shared with the world.
I guess with COVID having, well, I mean, it's still around, but hopefully the worst is behind us. But I guess that utilizing platforms such as the ones that you have will be useful if there's another pandemic in the future?
So that was exactly the point of doing this research, because of course we grew a little bit, so we are still a small company, and it has never been the point to be competitive against Pfizer, but we demonstrated that we could do a drug very fast. And so, as you said, virology is a very large subject, so you have a lot of viruses. It's 100% sure that something will happen in the incoming year, so we don't know it yet, and maybe it won't be as bad as COVID. But it remains really important to have some technologies that are cutting the time of development of new drugs. And antivirals, in fact, are important for everything. And for example, the technology that we are developing is can be used also for viruses that are not of the pandemic, not generating pandemics, but you have other viruses, you have AIDS, you have herpes, you have things like that, and you need antivirals. So the technology that allows you to work on antivirals is really important, and to a large extent for the population.
This is an area that has artificial intelligence and machine learning and quantum computing starts to take off, there are more and more companies entering into this field. How are you able to, I guess, stay ahead of the companies that are entering this field?
Our specificity is that we're coming from academia. So our company has been founded by five different academic founders in two countries related to five labs. So we are old guys in the field, and our academic laboratories have accumulated over the years really a lot of different technologies. And we're still heavily working at the academic level to keep an edge on all of that. So of course, you have new players, you have big players like Google, but it's a complex field. So it's a little bit like a decathlon, a marathon. You have to run a very long time, and you have to master a lot of different types of techniques, including supercomputing and quantum computing. So a company like us that is highly technological has a capability to keep an edge even on very large competitors. The nice thing with that is I would say digitalization of pharma is disruptive. So we can really do things with small teams that would have required a lot of people some years ago. So with the increase of compute, and everybody is talking about the increase of compute because of the ChatGPT, etc. And people have started to realize that, in fact, we needed big computers to build these ChatGPT models. But the same technology is also able to build new models for pharma. So we are at the edge of a new era where things will go a lot faster, even for the development of drugs.
And I guess, as you mentioned earlier, there are many companies, but there are so many diseases that it's not going to be a field where it's oversaturated because there are just so many diseases to tackle.
Exactly. So all the technologies will not be able to deal with every target, every diseases. Not everyone is interested by the same thing. Not everyone will have access to the largest supercomputer because technical difficulties will remain, but there is a lot of room for, I would say, a full family of companies doing different things. We are only dealing now with the revolution of machine learning. There is another one coming, which is the next revolution of quantum computing. So we will have good years with increased capabilities. And so I think like digital pharma will flourish and help more and more people to get cured. And that's really what we hope for. It's like we know that old style pharma was working very well, but it was slow because due to the complexity of the task to achieve. And this computational revolution will really unleash the power of pharma towards really helping a lot more people.
And with that revolution and the changes and developments in computing, do you have to constantly be working with that to change the Atlas software?
Exactly. So I would say one particular aspect of Atlas, it has been designed to be hardware agnostic. So what does that mean is that we know that the field is evolving at light speed. You have every week new announcements. You see huge progresses by companies like NVIDIA. You see quantum computers coming, and they are now designed by very large corporations like IBM or Google. So we need to make sure that we are state of the art and that we keep our edge. So we have a software that is constantly evolving. So a company like us is like, you know, this chocolate candy. You have several layers. So outside we look a pharma, but inside we are a deep tech company, really like Google. So we have computer scientists, high performance computing specialists, theoretical physicists, theoretical chemists, and quantum physicists. And all these people are working really hard only on the technological aspect to be able to deliver, in fact, a platform for the internal users that will actually do the pharma. So that's a model of company which is clearly hybrid by construction. And that requires really to follow the trend and to anticipate the trend of the deep tech world.
Do pharma companies approach you to work with the software, or how do those relationships develop?
So we make a choice at the beginning not to be selling the software for various reasons, because if you enter the software market, you're clearly in competition with a lot of people that are willing to sell a software. And that's not what we want. We want to be able to contribute to the overall effort. So we are doing a lot of open source development that we share with both academia and the industry. And our model is to really sell molecules. So we go directly to the molecules. We find new families of drugs that are unknown to the big players. And we are specializing ourselves in the clinical phases that we call the preclinical phases. That means that we find a molecule, we define its structure, we synthesize it, we do the first tests that are before the animal. I would say they have in vivo tests, but they are cellular models, toxicity, etc. And when we have a full book of the description of the molecules, we sell them to bigger players that have the capability to do the clinical trials. Because in the clinical trials, that's where you go to the test on humans. And that's where you need a specific knowledge and a very large capabilities to handle that. So it's not our job. We stay at the discovery level, but we aim to be able to produce more diversity in the type of molecules we can find.
The most recent news out of your company was, I guess, the partnership with Pascal and the Quantum for Bio program. Could you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so that's another aspect of what we do. So we partner with some pharma and they will acquire our molecules, but we also partner with deep tech companies, and the Quantum for Bio project is an aspect of that. So what was the idea of the collaboration with Pascal is to prepare the future. So we strongly believe that as we partner with pharma to develop new drugs, we need to partner with hardware provider to develop the next generation of platform. And the next generation of platform will include computational aspects that are beyond classical computing, so beyond GPUs and CPUs and TPUs. We will need quantum processors. So we had already a past project at the beginning of the company with Pascal. It went well. We decided, in fact, to group with Pascal in another collaboration that is the Unitary Fund, that is a non-profit company that is aiming to spread quantum computing. And the idea was to build an alliance to be able to decipher what we really needed to use quantum computing for pharma applications. So we had a specialist in programming of different standards, which is Unitary Fund, an hardware provider that is Pascal. So Pascal is building quantum computers based on cold atoms that are using Rydberg state. So originally, they have been founded by Alain Aspect, who got the Nobel Prize very recently. And we are the specialist of algorithmics for pharma. And we have applied to this Wellcome Trust funding. So it was a global competition and we got it. So we were the only Europeans. So that's a very good news. So that shows that first we have a technology that is competitive. And then it's giving us time and resources to really do very deep tech work, to really link our computational infrastructures to state-of-the-art hardware. You really need to understand the hardware at the deepest level if you want to build this new generation of platforms.
So the next 12 to 18 months, what does that look like for the company?
So the company is growing. So we were 3 people, now we are 60. So next year it will be a new phase of growth. more projects, more collaboration. So we will announce different partnerships, both with the academic partners in the field of pharma, but also in the field of deep tech. So we are continuing to really look at the new type of drugs for the areas of that I explained. And also, we are going more and more deep tech. This first 4 years, I would say we finalized a very large scale capabilities using supercomputers. And the second phase is really go quantum. We are building a second version of Atlas that is more quantum. That will, of course, continue to use classical computing. But we are working out our computational capabilities to tackle more and more complex projects.
Hopefully, at the end of that, many more drugs to help more people, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly the goal. And what is interesting right now is that so we are probably one of the first hybrid company between deep tech and pharma, but we are not the first company between pharma and artificial intelligence. So you are starting to see now, so not all the initial companies are still there, but some of them have been growing and they are starting to show their first results. So that's interesting because that means that, you know, pharma is slow. You have cycles of 15 years of development, but you start to see announcements about clinical trials of drugs that have been partially designed by artificial intelligence. So that's really exciting. So that means that pharma is already transforming. And we are working hard on the next step of the transformation to reduce even further the time to solution. But the overall process of pharma is really already in a full transformation. Artificial intelligence is there and it will mix with high performance computing and quantum computing to build the pharma of tomorrow. Again, I really think that the ultimate goal is really to find drugs that will be useful for people. COVID reminded us how fragile we were. So sometimes you need a solution now. So I think a lot of people are interested and are reading about pharma because they hope that a drug will be developed for their specific case. And I think this overall effort will really bring a little bit more hope. I think that's good. It's really motivating, I think, for all the companies like us to pursue that direction.
Well, let's hope Qubit is successful in getting more drugs to market more quickly. And of course, the bottom line is helping more patients. Don't forget to check out the latest news and articles over at labiotech.eu. And I hope wherever in the world you have a great week ahead. Thanks for listening, and you'll join us next time for another Beyond Biotech.